I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
So John, it's the weekend of St. Patrick's Day, and at work we had a St. Patrick's Day bowling thing that I organized for everybody. 50 people bowling. Two of them were Japanese and don't speak English, which was fun. But they had a lot of fun. And, bar food, so various fried things, battered and fried. But it was a lot of fun. But it's the first time I've bowled in a year, which was the last time we went to the same place and did the same thing, but someone else organized it. This year I organized it. I'm sore in places that I didn't think I could still be sore in, and just really sore. And then after that, I went and played Dungeons & Dragons and was up till 2 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. You gotta watch as you get older. When you do different things, and I'm a pretty active person and I'm in good shape and everything, but I've been playing upright bass for the past bunch of months, and I'm really enjoying it, and I enjoy the work and the physicality of it. But yeah, it hurts after a while, and my arm gets sore. And a lot of what I'm trying to do with it is to practice. And I bought this course that I'm using, and it's really helping because it's a video course, and I'm watching people do proper technique, and I'm modeling it, and it's all good. But it hurts. I couldn't do a gig. Well, besides the fact that I would sound terrible because I don't play it that well, I couldn't physically do a gig on this instrument yet, because I can maybe do 30 minutes before I have to stop, because and I don't know if that's just adjusting to the new thing or getting older, but sucks getting old, man.
Isn't the key to the stand-up bass just being able to spin it at the right moment?
Oh, yes. That's the third lesson in this course. I tell you what, that is quite difficult, is actually just getting it to stand correctly, to get it to hit your body at the correct angle. Because if you don't do that right, you're supporting more of the instrument with your hand and your arm, and you're really not supposed to be having any weight with your hand and your arm. It's supposed to hit your waist at a certain angle, and it should all be balanced there. Because otherwise then it's falling into your arm, and then you can't do anything with your hand, and that's when you have difficulties.
I'm just curious. I know how string instruments work and how they get their tone. I'm just wondering if there's a way that they could do like the body contouring foam somehow, so that like you just pull it toward and it just contours to your body and rests there as you're playing. You know what I'm talking about? Like it could almost mold into your body as you're playing it and lessen that impact.
Well, I don't know if I've spoken about this on the show or even told you. The bass that I'm using is just one of the ones at my school. I borrowed it from the middle school, and I've been practicing on that in the morning before my work day starts. I want to have one for home because carting this thing is would be not so fun. And what I've decided that I'm probably going to do is I'm going to get an electric one. It's an upright bass it's the same thing, but you may have even seen them before. Tony Levin, who is the bass player in King Crimson, he's also Peter Gabriel's bass player. He plays just normal electric bass most of the time, but he does play upright, and he does play this electric upright that I'm looking to get, which is essentially just the fingerboard.
Yeah.
And no body. And that is on a stand. That's on like a big tripod stand. So that's one of the reasons why I'm thinking of using that at home, is because you just set the stand correctly, and then you're in the proper you don't have to deal with the weight of the instrument then.
Yeah, but there's that very famous stand-up bass player, and I cannot remember her name, but she was part of the Battlestar Galactica Orchestra. And oh. if you watch the live concert video where they did the song, I think it was Apocalypse, you know, boom, okay. boom, 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 and she's in there. And she's not very big. She's not very tall, I should say. But she has, like, super long hair, jet black hair. And she is just rocking out on that electric bass. And she's done a lot of other things. They've done her and another woman did the Wonder Woman theme. I guess they toured together, and there's like some concert videos of them doing the I think the other woman is playing is it a violin? I think she's playing a violin, and then this woman's playing the stand-up bass, and they're doing that Wonder Woman theme from the movie that was so awesome. So like, if you get this electric, I'm still going to expect you to rock out the way she rocks out and just be, okay. you know, all over the place.
Well, yeah, one of the reasons why I'm looking for that, part of me kind of thinks it's sort of lame to get that as opposed to a regular upright, but there are many practical matters that are influencing this decision, and I haven't fully made the decision yet, but one of them is just...
You can put on headphones and you can be playing and not bother anybody.
Absolutely. That's one thing. Size as well. Mm. If I got a real regular double bass, upright bass, there's no place to put that where I live. That's just going to be laying on the floor in our bedroom. It's just going to be a piece of non-usable furniture.
Yeah.
You know, so that's that. And also the other thing is, I'm doing this because I would like to eventually, and it may be 6 months before I feel comfortable enough on this instrument, or a year to where I want to start trying to play gigs or go to open mics or what have you, carting around a double bass. You can fit it in a car. I transported the upright that I'm using at school from one school to the other in my car, but you have to like, put down your front seat all the way. You have to, I had to watch a YouTube video on how to do it. Like there's a specific way you have to like kind of work it in there. And at the point that I'm at in my life is there's a lot of resistance to going out to do a gig or to practice with somebody as it is. Just getting out the door, period, is difficult. If I'm going to throw in, oh yes, and this instrument is a major pain in the ass to even just get out of your house and get into a car, it's like I don't need to give myself a tougher path to get out the door than it already is. So with this like electric one, it when you put it in a case, it's essentially the size of an electric guitar then, because it's just a big fretboard. Not a fretboard, you'd call it a fingerboard because there's no frets on an upright. It's called a fingerboard. And they sound good, and they're expensive though. Like a regular upright is super expensive, but even this electric one is like $1,100. It's like they're not cheap. If I bought a regular upright, you're talking more like $1,600-$1,700, and that's for the entry level ones. You could spend as much as you want on an upright bass, and I don't necessarily want to put that much towards it. And I just think, you know, if I have that electric one, it'll sit on that tripod, it'll be always ready to go, so I can go and just start practicing it at home whenever I have the opportunity to. So it just makes much more practical sense. Plus, if you get an upright, a regular, like a real upright, if you want to play a gig, you still have to get a pickup for it. You know, like it's, you still have to get one of those like acoustic pickups to put into it, because they're not loud enough on their own if you're playing with a drummer or something, you know? So, all right, I'm going to spend $1,600-$1,700 on the bass. Now I got to spend a couple hundred dollars on a pickup now. And, you know, it's just not as practical. So I'm probably leaning towards the electric one. And I do want to get it soon because I've been doing all this practice at school and I find myself wanting to do it at home as well. And I'm sad that I don't have an instrument to use at home for this. And I have my regular electric, my Fender jazz bass that I have, and I still like that, but it's a totally different thing. Like you play it in a totally, even though it's the same tuning, what you do with your fingers and your technique is completely different. So I want to just play regular upright. So there you go.
There you go.
Speaking, Yeah, speaking
I think the lady's name that I'm trying to think of, I just looked her up. I'm not gonna pronounce this correctly. Tina Guo, Guo.
Ooh. Okay.
And she is a Chinese American cellist and Erhuist.
Erhuist. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's an Asian instrument. It's a bowed Asian instrument.
From Shanghai.
Okay. Cool.
And she just absolutely rocks that stand-up bass.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that you said awesome. Speaking of.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were mentioning the flip in the bass. I did see an article that the Stray Cats have reunited and they are going to be doing a tour this summer. yes. Very good. I saw that you put on our patrons only page, you did put the news that Arrow is coming to an end. So we talk a lot about these DCCW shows. Maybe you can fill our listeners in. I'm sure they already know by the time they hear this, but what is going to be the plan going forward with Arrow?
Well, I think in order to talk about this, I may have to spoil some things.
Yeah, try to keep them as light as possible because, you know, I'm going to be
I understand.
Watching that
eventually. I understand.
But, you know, I'll forget it by the time I watch it anyway. So,
I mean, for our listeners as well. So, you know, tread lightly here. I'm going to try not to, but I'm going to talk about some stuff that happened in DC Comics that I think is going to translate into the Arrowverse. So there's a thing in DC Comics called Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very famous crossover event in DC's universe. There came a point where they just realized they had so many conflicting stories, conflicting backgrounds, different versions of characters. They had, you know, they had incorporated, as an example, Captain Marvel, Shazam, had been incorporated into the DC universe decades before. Originally, that character and the whole Marvel family of characters was part of a different company completely. And so they had a lot of different things going on. They had Supergirl, but they also had, is it Power Woman or Power Girl? Oh. It was basically the same character, just at a different age.
Okay.
Right. It's still Supergirl's or Superman's cousin. They had all this stuff. They had multiple Flashes. You had Barry Allen and Wally West and different ones. And they had all this stuff going on and they needed a reset. So they did this Crisis on Infinite Earths. Now you've got the Arrowverse. And when the Flash premiered, one of the things that you may remember in the Flash is when he finds the little room.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the time room that Eobard Thawne was using.
Yeah.
And it has Gideon in there. And
yep.
And there was a newspaper clipping. Flash disappears in Crisis.
Right.
Well, that's harkening back to those comics because in order to save the multiverse, to save the universe, Barry Allen had to sacrifice himself.
Okay.
And he was in... I believe like the Speed Force or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Supergirl died. Like mm-hmm. Supergirl literally died. So now you've got the Flash talking about, you know, Flash disappears in Crisis. And we also have Supergirl. And so one of the things that's been speculated now is if they ever do Crisis, Supergirl and Barry Allen would both have to go away. Because that's part of the Crisis storyline. So Arrow's getting on. It's still popular, but I believe when you look at the ratings, Flash is number one. Flash is the most popular of those shows. Arrow is number two. Supergirl is number three. And Legends of Tomorrow is number four in popularity and ratings and everything. Well, to shock, I mean, just it shocked everyone. Like all the shows got renewed, but Arrow only got renewed for 10 episodes. And then it's over, is what they're saying. So,
right.
finish out this season, and then next season they get 10 episodes, and then it's over. If you've been keeping track, that leads up into the annual crossover. And what they've already hinted at, if you saw this year's crossover, is that next year's crossover is called Crisis.
Right.
So the speculation is that Oliver made a deal when he found, like, he knows, or he's suspecting that something bad is going to happen to his friends. And the reason Arrow is ending is because he's going to take the bullet.
Right.
And save the universe. That's the speculation online. You can read that anywhere. It's part of almost every single article about this. So I don't think I'm spoiling anything, but that's like the speculation of what's going to happen. Oliver, being Oliver, has decided that he's been doing this long enough and he's going to take that bullet and he's going to save his friends.
I like endings. I think you commented on this. You posted the story to our patrons group. And I think that's where you posted it.
Anyway. Yep.
And your comment on it was like, yes, this is surprising because the CW's history is that if a show is successful, they just keep it going. Yeah. You have Supernatural, which is on what season
14,
is Supernatural?
14, 15 14, at this point. Yeah.
So sure, that would be, and if it's still popular and it's still making money, sure. But I think it comes up all the time. I'd rather see things end if they do the ending well. And I think because they've built this big universe between the four shows, look, chances are, yeah, you probably will. It'll probably be some sort of Oliver sacrificing himself. But you have all those other characters. You can easily, and I'm sure they're not all going to make it. But as they've already done, you know, you can move those characters over to other shows.
Well, and the other part of this is that this could be a reboot for the Arrowverse a little bit.
Right.
They could merge universes. So if you're not familiar, Supergirl is on an alternate Earth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they could bring her over. You also have Batwoman. They're developing a series around Batwoman based on last year's crossover, which introduced the character. So that could also become a new show and replace Arrow.
Yeah.
You could also do something along the lines of, if this is a reset, a reboot, where they're all in the same world, you could get an alternate version of Oliver Queen. You could get one that's closer to the Ollie in the comics.
Oh, that would be interesting.
And maybe Arrow goes away and a new show called The Green Arrow starts.
Ooh, that's an intriguing idea too. I think when Arrow started, I mean, maybe they had it in the back of their mind that they wanted to build it up into what it was now. But as we were talking about with Tracy Towson on the most recent episode, a lot of this is market force driven. So I'm sure as the Arrow did well, and then Flash is introduced in Arrow season 2, mm-hmm. I believe. So they probably already had in the back of their mind that they wanted to launch Flash pretty early on if Arrow did well enough. So, yes, it's built into this whole thing, but I think the danger of having all these shows and now Batwoman's on the horizon, it is a lot to keep up with. And I think the more that you add to the viewers' plates, you run the risk of losing some viewers, mm-hmm. because they're like, that's too, and look, I've kind of expressed that thought that it's like, I wait for it all to go on Netflix and I almost didn't even do the most recent seasons because I'm like, oh boy, that's like 80 something episodes. Like, I don't know if I feel like diving through all this. And I did, and I ended up really enjoying just about everything. Some of it's slow, but whatever, not to critique the shows. But to me, I'd rather see them prune things. You know, if you want to, so if Arrow goes to make room for a Batwoman show rather than just adding the Batwoman show. And now it's five shows that we're going to follow. And then the next, you know, whatever the case may be, prune it.
Yeah. There's also in the movieverse, there is a Supergirl movie in development because DC and Warner Brothers has said, we weren't prepared for people not liking our Justice League stuff. So they're trying to do other things to stay alive. And now they're looking at doing a Supergirl movie to get away from the Justice League stuff. And there's speculation that since Supergirl is the third on the list, you know, third most popular, that maybe Supergirl goes away as well. And they are also talking to, what's his name, Tyler Hoechlin. About doing a Superman show, like almost like a modern day Lois and Clark, because they really liked the interactions between Superman and Lois in the most recent crossover.
Right.
And they liked those two characters and they liked what was going on with them. So they're talking about potentially doing a Superman. And one of the things that I read online was, will they replace Supergirl with Superman in the Crisis event? Because again, if they go back to the comics, Supergirl died.
That would be so ballsy, you know, to take characters that are still loved and the shows are still successful. I mean, part of me would really admire a move like that if it makes the stories stronger. You don't want to, and I think that is, can always be a problem, but of bloat. Right. And there is a lot going on there. And for the most part, I did enjoy watching those four shows last summer, but it is a little bloated. There are, and I think Arrow is the most guilty of that, where I think the last few seasons have their bright spots.
It's become such an ensemble show.
Yes.
Because now you've got Captain Terrific, you've got Wild Dog, you've got Black Canary, you've got Black Siren, you've got the Sentinel, I think is Diggle's name.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Arrow, you've got Overwatch, you've got Speedy and the Red Arrow. And like, they've just keep adding more and more and more to the show. And this season in particular has brought a lot of people back. And
okay.
And you're seeing a lot of that as they're, you know, they finally got rid of the flashbacks.
Right.
And, but now we're doing flash forwards.
Weird.
You know, actually, and this is what, that this is what leads to a lot of the speculation. They're doing a flash forward into the future of Star City, and there is no Green Arrow.
Right, right.
And there hasn't been for a really long time.
It's interesting. You know, and you probably noticed, because you did, I know you noticed because you commented on it. I posted about, it was weird position to be in. I was posting for streaming recommendations, which all I ever say is how there's too much good stuff. And I had a run where I did, there was a couple of things in between there, but I think I did the Jack Ryan show and I did Expanse season 3 and Umbrella Academy and Dragon Prince season 2. And it was just like, all those were awesome. And it was so great to just move one to the next. And then when I finished up Dragon Prince season 2, I was like, I don't really know what to watch next. Like, nothing's really grabbing me. And I in a very cavalier way was like, well, I'm going to do that thing where I'm going to try a bunch of stuff and I'll just quit it if I don't like it. And I found that nothing was really grabbing me. So that's why I went to social media to get some recommendations. And I got some good ones. Funny enough, I ended up going with one of the ones I did start. And I'm a few episodes into season 3 of The Magicians, which I don't think is up to the standard of the other things that I've recently watched. But I did love those books and I did enjoy the first two seasons. And now that I'm like 4 or 5 episodes in, I'm enjoying it. It's just not at the level of an Expanse or of an Umbrella, in my opinion. But there is, And I just started reading this book again, another one of these books that I bought a while ago. I just started reading The Paradox of Choice. Have you ever heard that book before or read that book? Well, I just started reading it, but because I've been thinking about that this week, is like, if we talk about a first world problem, like, I don't know what to stream next. Like, who cares, dummy? But like, the idea behind the book, very briefly, is that as we've gone on in life, and especially in our consumer world, and you would know this working in marketing, we want to have, it's generally considered positive that, you know, the more choices we have, the better. But sort of psychologically speaking, there is a breaking point. And when we have too much choice, that actually causes us a fair amount of stress and anxiety about, are we making the best choice right now? That's the conceit of the book.
Like I'll go to lunch, and sometimes I'll go to Qdoba. Right next door to Qdoba is a GameStop. And every once in a while I'll see that they have a sale going on, and I'll walk in and I'll buy, you know, 3 or 4 PlayStation games for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we talk about the paradox of choice. Now I have 3 games to play, and I end up not playing any of them because I don't know which one to start. You know, I used to go and buy a ton of books, and then I wouldn't know which book to start, which I think is kind of the paradox of choice a little bit.
Yeah, like
you have more stuff. And with the streaming, it's the same way. I've been in the same boat you have. I finished a bunch of stuff that I wanted to watch. I know there's some stuff on the horizon that's coming down the pipe that I want to watch, but it's not here yet. And so do I want to get into something else right now? Do I want, like, what do I want to do? So I've been in the same kind of boat as you.
Yeah, and it's funny because it shows how... you can look at it different ways, but I'll say how spoiled we've become, because there are literally 5 shows that I've watched the previous seasons and enjoyed, but I'm not motivated enough at this time to watch them. So like I said, I eventually settled on watching The Magician season 3, and I'm enjoying it just fine. But it's like, there's also season 2 of Punisher sitting there. There's season 2 of Luke Cage sitting there. There's season 2 of Iron Fist, although, you know, that's not, you know, always the one that jumps out. I watched like the first 15 minutes of that Into the Badlands show because I heard that was good, and that didn't really quite grab me yet. I don't know I just got to give that more time. All these things that I've either watched previous seasons or heard really good things about, and I'll be like, yeah, one day I'll get to. And it's like, well, I have the time now because there's nothing I'm super jazzed about. So why don't I watch that? And I'm like, yeah, because I don't know if I'm super jazzed about that either. And a lot of times in that, if I don't know what to do, I'll end up watching some movies that I've been meaning to get to. And again, a bunch of movies sitting there that I kind of feel like watching, and I haven't done that either. So yeah, it's weird. And again, total first world problem to have that. It's like, oh golly gee, I can't think of what to do yet. But when you, it's what we have been saying, it is that paradox of choice, because there's so many choices, and sometimes something jumps out as head and shoulders above the rest, and that's an easy choice to make. But now I think you're in the same boat. It's like, there's about 10 things that are about the same in terms of what I think my level of enjoyment would be, and I don't really know what road to walk down.
Sure.
So did you see, I didn't watch it, but Netflix was throwing that was Triple Frontier or something movie. Did you see the ad for that, or watch the trailer for that?
Yep.
That is so weird. And I watched the trailer and it didn't grab me to want to watch it. I may, but boy, are we in a different world where you have this movie that I had not heard of at all, starring Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, Pedro Pascal, who is going to be the Mandalorian, Charlie Hunman, who is in Sons of Anarchy, and he was in Pacific Rim, and just a loaded cast. Yeah. I don't know if the movie's any good, but it looks like a movie that would have been out in theaters, and there you go, sitting on Netflix. So I don't know if that means it's great or if it's bad. And
it's a Netflix original. So, I mean, yeah. they produced it.
Well, sometimes with those Netflix original, those, you do have to watch that, because it could be a movie that a studio had produced that they then decide at the end they don't want to release.
I feel like and that then, is not the case with this particular movie.
Yes, it may not be because they do. Netflix does just make their own movies from the beginning, but sometimes that Netflix original tag is they bought the rights to it after the fact. Yeah.
But I don't think that that's the case with this movie. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, the tone of it didn't appeal to me, so I didn't sit and watch it. If it hit me just right, I probably would have watched it because, like, I don't know, I like Oscar Isaac. I like, you know, like it seems like a cool kind of action movie. It's a little, it seemed a little dark, like they're going on some robbing a drug lord or something like that. So
I think it's about American soldiers who maybe they're special forces, maybe they're SEALs, something like, you know, there's some elite soldier kind of thing who. Mm-hmm. Are disenchanted with the fact that they have spent all this time serving their country, and you know, in the trailer it talks about, you know, you've taken 3, 4, 5 bullets or something for your country, you've been shot mm-hmm. X amount of times, you've recovered, you've done this, that, and you can't afford to send your kids to college. You know, you're broke.
Right.
You barely have made anything, and you don't have health care, you don't have this and that. And so they're basically going to rob a cartel, and they're going to take the skills that they have learned from military service, and they're going to go rob a cartel.
Right. Yeah. Like that storyline doesn't appeal to me at this moment. But you know, I may end up watching, but it's so funny that it's pass. And I don't know. Yet I watched a Point Break 100 times when I was a teenager in my early 20s, whenever it was on. It's just funny how our viewing habits change. We would have just been happy with something like that if it popped up, but now you're just like, nah, I'll pick something else. That's fine. I did consider.
And by the way, just to throw it out there, I'm looking online. The film was released by Netflix in select theaters.
Oh, okay. They're doing that thing then, because they do that now where they'll put it on Netflix, but they'll put it out in some theaters too. And I know they did that with Roma, so that it can be considered for Oscars. So I know that's one of the reasons why they put that out in theaters too. But that's interesting. One of the things I'd considered doing, which I don't think I'm gonna because it would be too much, I thought, like, well, you know, the last season of Game of Thrones is coming, and that's in April. And I thought, maybe I'll go and re-up my subscription to HBO now, and maybe I'll rewatch it all. And I poo-pooed that idea. I'm like, that's probably 80 episodes of an hour each. Like, I'm not gonna get through it from now until when that. But I did consider that to kind of catch up. But I'll probably just watch some YouTube videos or something like that. Will you watch Game of Thrones in real time, or will you wait until it's like all out there?
Well, I still haven't seen much.
You've
of
never?
It.
Oh, really? Okay.
I feel like I've seen all of season one.
Oh, okay.
And I saw that when it first came out. Like when it was live.
Mm-hmm.
And I may have seen a little bit of season two. I kind of vaguely remember the siege of the city. I don't know if that was season one or season two with Tyrion defending the city.
That is not, I don't think that's season one. That's like season two or three.
I vaguely remember seeing that. I never really kept up with it. I don't like the way women are portrayed in the show, for the most, like, I don't like the violence against them. And there's a lot of that in there. That's not my thing. It's the same reason why I never watched The Magicians after season one. Season one, the finale, ruined that entire show for me. And I just like, this is garbage. I'm not going to watch any more of this.
There's a weird darkness about The Magicians, which is one of the reasons why I was hesitant to continue on with it. And that's, I'm okay with this, but it is diverted significantly from the books. It's basically just using the characters and the setting to tell different stories. The first season's a little bit like the first book, but the subsequent seasons really haven't followed much of what's gone in the books at all. It's very different, which I'm okay with, but it's that's an example of something that is using the book as a as basically just world building.
Yeah.
As opposed to The Expanse, which I think does follow the books pretty closely.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Yeah, I again, as far as Game of Thrones, I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it again someday. I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The Magicians, I was really enjoying that show, the first season. The one character that kind of got kicked out of the school and she was wandering for a bit, and then she found a group of people, and she was really, she seemed like she was happy, and she was kind of turning things around, and she'd found a purpose. And then they reveal that they had summoned a demon, and the demon had raped her and killed all the other people and raped them and did all. And I'm just like, oh, really? That's where you went with this? Fuck you. I don't need this. It was such a bunch of garbage at the end. And so I just never went back to it.
And the way that is in the books, those stories are pretty separate. Like Julia is barely in the first book. It's kind of like the second book tells her story, and it's different. But it's the same idea that she doesn't get into break bills, and then she becomes a hedge witch and learns magic outside of the school. But I don't think all the like super dark stuff that's about the – Again, I'd have to reread the books because it's been a few years now. It's different though. But yeah, and Game of Thrones, like, I don't know. Hey, like here's the thing. If you're not digging something, don't watch it. Like, that's, you know, again, there's lots of stuff that you probably would like better. So go and watch that instead.
And so you're finally, I think at the point you're finally caught up on The Expanse.
I am, yeah.
And you enjoyed it.
I did.
Good.
I did. Did you like the season 3?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, book, the next book is, I think, coming out pretty soon.
I believe it's the last book. Not,
are you sure? I want to say that I know there is a finite amount of books. I thought it was 10.
I don't know. I thought that they were ending the series.
I know they are going to end the series, and I know they have plans. So you're on. So the next one that's coming out is called Tiamat's Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, when is that? Is that out already?
I think you can March 26th or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really soon, actually. That's by the time this episode is out, it might be out already, so that's cool. But I really think that it's more than that. I want to say that it was going to be 10 books, but I can be wrong. I could be wrong about that. I do like that there's going to be an ending to that as well, whether it's this book or in another book or two. I feel like they'd be making a bigger deal of the books if this was going to be the last one.
I thought that they had announced it was the last one. Maybe they've changed their mind.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they did that before. Like... They had announced when a book was going to, and it was going to take a little bit longer than they actually thought it would, and it was going to be a year's delay. And then they changed all that, and it ended up coming out sooner. Because there was a lot of people going, why are you saying this? Why are you saying that to me? They're like, it's not going to take a year, blah, blah, blah. And they were just yelling at me on social media. And then they released it sooner.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I just Google searched that, and it's like, boy, they were very consistent with these books, because it's a book a year from 2011 to 2017. And then they did take a year off in 2018. And now this one's coming out in 2019. So that's a high level of consistency for that. And there's a bunch of like short stories and that type of thing too.
Oh yeah. Like I've gotten a bunch of those.
Yeah,
the novellas that kind of go in bridge stuff, and
you know, I'm remembering this now. I think This seems like such a bizarre thing to talk about. Patrick, you know, I think I had a dream, and I think I had it last night, where I was listening to the audiobook of the new Expanse novel, and it wasn't
Jefferson Maze.
It wasn't Jefferson Maze, and I didn't realize it until a little bit into it, and I was like, I woke up all horrified. It was like a nightmare, and then I realized like, whew, it's just a dream. And I'm not making that up. I'm not making that up to try to be funny. I really had that dream last night to show you how important that narrator is. And I do love that they did do a shout out on the show for docking the Jefferson Maze. But yeah, they're doing a great job with that series. And I know the season 4 they're probably making now, and that's going to be Amazon. And I'll be curious to see if it is similar in terms of, I know Bezos likes that show a lot, so I'm assuming he's going to dump enough money into it to keep the quality highs, but I'm curious to see how it stacks up against the previous seasons. That's for sure. Well,
hold on. So talk about the show. You liked it. What'd you like?
Oh, well, I did. I liked that they had, I always forget his name. I the actor's name is, I think it's David Strathairn. He was in Alphas. He was like the mentor on Alphas, that show that was on the Sci-Fi Channel. But he's done a lot of big movies and things too. He was in Sneakers a million years ago. He played Ashford. You know, so he had the gray hair and the scarred face and everything. I thought that was cool that they cast him in a role like that. So I enjoyed seeing him pop up. To me, that the storyline that they told this season, it's funny the way that the Expanse, the TV series is, because it's not quite book by season. You know, it's sort of like, the first book is kind of the first season and a half. And then the second book is kind of the second half of season 2 and the first half of season 3. And so they're not quite book per season. They kind of do, there's like a break in season 3 where it finishes book 2 and starts on book 3. And there's a, I don't know if it's like 18 months or whatever between those storylines, but I liked how they broke it up. But to me, that's when I really started to love the books, when they got to I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but Abaddon's Gate, which is what the story of at least the second half of season 3 is, because that's where everything like really opens up to me. I liked Leviathan Wakes and I liked Caliban's War, but just to put it in the kind of time it took me to read those, I read Leviathan's Wake, and then it was like 2 years later that I read Caliban's War, and then it was like another year or two until I read Abaddon's Gate, and then I read the rest of them consecutively, all within, you know, the next 6 months or a year or whatever, just blew through the next 6 books or however many it was. So to me, it really jumps quite a bit in quality and just in interest. And I think that's part of the first 2 books, is to have this air of mystery about things. But once the gates appear, that's when I was really all in on the series. So I'm psyched that that's where they're at now. And I just like, besides the world building aspect of it, I just liked that story where all the ships were in the slow zone. I just think that really plays to the strength of that series. And I thought they did a very good interpretation of it. How about you?
I think it's going to be interesting to see where they go with it from here, because from this point on, Holden in the books and the rest of the crew, they age.
They
start to age. They start to get older. You know, the wear and tear of everything that's happened starts to hit them.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see how that translates into the show.
Well, I think if they follow the books, then they will be getting on to, is it Chabola Burns? I never know how to pronounce that either. They title their books weird, because then they have nothing to do with what actually goes on in the story. But Cibola Burn, however you pronounce it. And that's when they go and they're they go through one of the gates and they spend some time in a different planet. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that's where they're going in the next season. But yeah, I'm trying, it's a little fuzzy because, you know, when you read these series, then you have a tough time placing what happens when. But yeah, no, they are going to have to. And I always thought that they, as much as I think that actor is doing a good job, I think they did cast a young actor for Holden.
For all of them.
For all of them. But I think particularly for Holden, he comes across much younger on the TV show than he does in the books. Mm-hmm. I always imagined kind of a Scott Bakula type of, and Scott Bakula would be way too old now, but like, you know, sort of Scott Bakula in the Quantum Leap time, you know, like a dude that was, you know, late 30s, 40 or whatever. That's kind of the way that I pictured him in the books, and the actor in the TV show looks about 10 years younger than that. So, but look, I think it's easier to age up
than age down.
The reverse. Sure. So, you know, you could do a decent little makeup job on them and age them up a bit if you need to. So we'll see, but I thought it was great. I was very compelled. Good. And yeah, I dug it.
Good. So do you remember Miller's partner on series?
Yes, I do.
The actor?
Yes, here's another stuff.
Here's your bit of trivia.
Okay.
He is now Magnum PI.
What? There's a Magnum PI out now?
Yes, there's a whole new Magnum PI show. It's on CBS.
Wow.
And he's playing the title character, Thomas Magnum.
Okay.
They have a female Higgins. And okay. Here's the thing. Like, I hated the MacGyver reboot. I really, really hate the Hawaii Five-0 show.
Okay.
You know, these shows that they brought back. I have not cared for Will and Grace that's come back. I finally watched a few episodes of that, and I just did not care for it. I don't think they've recaptured the magic of that show. A couple of other shows that they've redone, SWAT, I really like. I okay. really like SWAT. The lead guy on that is great, and his kind of partner is the guy from Better Off Ted.
Okay.
In a very serious role. And he's screwing up his life so bad. It's horrible to watch, but at the same time it's like a train wreck, you can't look away. So I like SWAT. I like the new Magnum PI. Even though it's that CBS formula of being stupidly light.
Yeah. Sometimes that's what you want though.
But I like this guy as Magnum. I like the new Higgins. She beats the shit out of somebody every single episode.
Nice.
She's like this because they went with the same kind of background as the original Higgins. Like, she was MI5 or MI6, something like that. You know, former spy. But unlike the guy who played Higgins, she is fit, young. She stays in shape. She does martial arts. She does yoga. She does all this stuff. And it never fails that, like, he calls her up and needs a favor. She goes off to help him. Some dumbass tries to shoot or attack her, and she just beats the shit out of him. It's like every single episode, and I'm like, yeah, Higgins is kicking ass!
Nice.
So I do kind of like that show, and I know that that's controversial for a lot of people. They're like, no, that's not Magnum PI. I don't care. It's kind of a fun show to watch.
Was it a good enough show to begin with, where we have to really like hold it so sacred? You know,
apparently yes. Apparently yes. So. Like people, they're just like, no, you can't do that.
What's next, Fall Guy? Are they going to be rebooting that?
Probably. And then what's funny is they have established that MacGyver and Hawaii Five-0 are in the same universe.
Oh, of course.
They've also established, I think, that NCIS Los Angeles had a crossover with Hawaii Five-0. So that means that, you know, those shows are linked, which also means that the original NCIS is linked to them. And then they had the medical examiner from Hawaii Five-0 appear in Magnum PI, linking those two shows together. So apparently they're all just one big happy CBS universe.
Well, good for CBS. That's all totally foreign to me, and I'm okay with that. But cool.
I watched these shows with my mom. So
I knew that's what it was, but that's cool. Hey, you know what, if I lived with if my parents lived with me, that I would probably be watching them too, because anytime I've gone to their place, they always have one of those shows on. So I'm sure.
And every time Hawaii 5-0 comes on, as soon as the music's done, I'm like, well, that was the best part of the show, you know, doom, doom. And then SWAT comes on and they play that theme song too. And I'm like, oh yeah. And then, you know, obviously they're doing the Magnum PI thing. And I'm like, oh yeah, we're bringing back theme songs. Yes.
And I think Mike Post wrote all those.
Probably.
That's the name of the composer that like wrote every one of those like TV themes back in the 80s, at least, anyway.
But, so. And you mentioned Scott Bakula, and you can't mention Scott Bakula without also mentioning his giant forehead. But, you know, the Quantum Leap theme song I always liked. And then I don't know if you remember, there was one season where they amped it up.
Oh.
And they added drums.
Oh.
And they almost made it like a rock song. Do you remember that?
I don't.
They did that for like one season, and then I think they went back. It was like season 4. They changed up the theme, and I was like, what the hell is going on? They've changed the theme song. And then, you know, they switched it, I think, back to the original, I think, for the last season.
I see. Interesting.
Theme songs. Interesting. I love theme songs.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. All right, everybody. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. If you dig the show, consider becoming one of our backers, patreon.com/functionalnerds. You will then get access to our patron-only Facebook page, and we've been having a great time over there with that. So consider becoming one of our backers, and we can chat on Facebook and eliminate some of the noise. Patrick and I have been enjoying it. I think the people that are posting over there and commenting are having a good time too, so join us over there. All you have to do is become one of our patrons over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. Patrick, what would you like to leave our listeners with today?
No, I think that's it. I think two good shows we recorded today. You know, go out and by now you've probably already had your corned beef and cabbage, and I'm very, very sorry for that.
You have to figure out what to do today.
It's gross.
All right, everybody. Have a good week, and we'll see you next time.
I'm a terrible Irishman.
Gunsmoke. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.